Today on Real Radio.
And now the big debate is, are men and women different at all? Are they even different at all? First of all, the question should be, who asked that question? We need to study that brain, put it in a pickle jar and check it out and see how it works. Are men and women different? Absolutely different.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series called Life and the Bible. It's a topical series that explores those passages of Scripture that guide us believers in how to live in an unbelieving world. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a study called Being a Christian While Being a Woman.
A woman holds a unique creative gift engineered by God. Well, we heard a great message about the creativeness of the human spirit by Congressman Bob McEwen on Sunday night. God made us with the ability to be creative. Some are more, some are less. I understand that. The Bible says in Acts 16:14, now a certain woman named Lydia heard us, and she was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, a businesswoman who worshiped God. And the Lord opened her heart to heed these things spoken of by the Apostle Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, listen, she begged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. And so she persuaded us to stay. What a beautiful thing. This woman comes to know Christ, and she's a business owner. She's got her tapestry, textile industry that she's an owner of, and she hears the gospel and she says, you guys are coming to my house. And in my mind, I'm thinking, you know, if she was into fabric and dyeing stuff and coloring stuff and sales, I wonder what her house looked like. Now, I don't know about you, but you know, there's certain homes that you walk into and they're so incredibly perfect that you don't even want to sit down. It's like a model house. Although you do want to kind of abuse a model home, don't you? Don't you want to go into a model house and jump on the bed? Just to kind of like bring some life into it. Everything's just perfect. And you don't want, you walk in, you know, you just want. And somebody says, won't you come in? Yeah. And you go past the vase and. And then there's homes that are just lived in, you know. Then there's homes that are lived in and they look really cool. I don't know how that's done, but that's amazing. But a woman can look at something and there's a creative heart about her. They see things. Listen, ladies, God has engineered you very, very specifically for very, very awesome reasons. And my heart breaks. I know my wife's heart breaks. The women's ministry leaders, their hearts break over women who have just been beat down either by a bad upbringing or by a husband or by a boyfriend or a relationship, and the woman is just a wilted flower. And I want you to know tonight, if you're saying, Pastor Jack, inside that's who I am, I want you to know that is not God's will, and He wants you completely re-energized, and He wants you watered with the Word that you might grow strong. Now, maybe you've come out of some cult or some woman abusing religion or something, you need to know that that is not the will of God. If women in some cult or religion that you are in or some second-rate people, that's not what the Bible teaches. If you've been brought up into some belief that you somehow have no say, you have no input, that you are some subservient and some sort of thing like property, that is anti-God. And I see far too many young people settling for that. Number seven, a woman holds a unique depth of passion. I don't need to explain that. I think about Mary, as I read a moment ago in Luke. Elizabeth, the Samaritan woman. She's fun. You ever read about her? You've read about her, right? In John's Gospel, chapter 4. The Samaritan woman. She's a feisty thing. She goes, she's there getting water in the middle of the day. I think you've already heard the story when we were in the Gospel of John. She wasn't supposed to be there while the other women went. So she had to go in the middle of the day because she was a very loose girl. And she was not to associate with the other women, so she goes in the middle of the day. Jesus is at the well. Jesus sees her. Now, a monk would have ran for the hills because he got near a loose girl. What does Jesus do? He says, hey, woman, can I have some water? He's got a whole plan. Hey, girl, can I have some water? Why do you ask me for some water when I'm a Samaritan and you're a Jew? She starts flirting with him. She doesn't know who he is. No, I'm serious. She doesn't know who he is. Why do you ask me for some water? You're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan. And he begins to answer her heart. And then he says, you know, I have water to give that if you drink of it, you'll never be thirsty again. And she goes, well, then give me some of that water. And he said, I tell you what, why don't you go get your husband and bring him here? And she said, well, I don't have a husband. And he goes, that's right. You've had, what is it, 4 or 5 husbands? And the man, how many? Five. And he says, and the man you're living with now is not your husband. And she says, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet of God. Isn't that amazing? And what happens? She winds up coming to know the Lord. Any culture without God, she would have been beaten with a stick or beheaded or whipped. What does the God of the universe do? Issues her forgiveness and gives her a brand new life. A woman caught in the act of adultery. What does Jesus do? And by the way, it was amazing. He who is without sin, let him cast the first stone. Whoever wants to stone her, if you're sinless, go ahead, let it rip. Come on. Can you imagine? Whatever those guys' names were. Hey, Bill. Yeah, you Pharisees. Fred, here's some big rocks here. Pick them up. Come on. I haven't seen a good stone in a whole week. Let it go. There she is. There you are. He who is without sin, throw the first stone. Can you imagine that? Now, who could have thrown in that entire group the first stone? Only Jesus. He didn't apparently even pick one up. Rather, who did he pick up but the woman? He said, woman, where are your accusers? She looked around because they all took off. She says, well, I don't think I have any accusers. And he said, the God of the universe, standing in front of her in human skin, he says, neither do I condemn you. Go. And what he said was, sin no more, meaning forsake that lifestyle you're in, girl. Go and live for God now. Do you know him like this? Have you come in here tonight and you've got all your past, young lady, middle-aged lady, older lady, you got all your past weighing you down. There's just hurdles you can't get over, no matter what they might be. Sinful conduct, maybe it's regret and remorse, I don't know. He wants to make you brand new. And that creates a depth of passion in your heart that no man can take away. Galatians 3:27, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Isn't that cool? Think of that. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one, equal, the same. Hello, everyone. Equal, the same. In Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Ladies, did you hear that? This is the Bible, not our culture speaking to you. I believe that the Bible teaches that women hold a unique place in the heart and mind of God. It's very powerful. Number 8, a woman holds a unique, reconcilable attribute. What do I mean by that? Reconcilable attribute. From the earliest ages of a young little kiddo, girl, a female seems to have it imprinted upon their heart and their eyes and their minds and how they perceive things in the sense of this, that they want a peace. Now, some of you, I don't know all of you in this room tonight, some of you may, you just came from college today and you were taught some stuff in your little psychology class. And now the big debate is, are men and women different at all? Are they even different at all? First of all, the question should be, who asked that question? We need to study that brain, put it in a pickle jar and check it out and see how it works. Are men and women different? Men, I don't know how different a man and woman, a male and female could be. Absolutely different. They're the same value before God, but absolutely different in this sense, from the earliest moments. And of course, this is what you and I as mere humans can understand, right? But those of you, I love how many experts we have, by the way, regarding child rearing, who have never had a kid. I mean, it's just hilarious. Well, you don't think that should be done with children. Well, before you tell me that, how many kids do you have? Well, I mean, I've read about kids. Get out of here. Oh, man. They're different. And I mean, before they come out, they're different. You can watch now through technology. You've got two twins in the womb, two guys in the womb, and they're kicking each other. Whoa! And then you've got two little girls in the womb, and they're all... It's absolutely... You can observe it. And then they come out, and they're different. It's supposed to be that way. And God celebrates that differentness that He's engineered. By the way, if you have a young kid, do you have young boys? You have young boys? You have little kids, boys? Will you let them get dirty? Listen, single moms, this is a very sad thing. Single moms who've been abandoned by the father, by the husband, and the little boy doesn't have much daddy time. Listen, mom, take it. Listen, I'm telling you right now. You got to let that little guy get absolutely messed up. Go dig a hole in the backyard, put some water in it, and throw his lunch in there. I am dead serious. He has got to get dirty. And to some degree, you know what? A little girl ought to get dirty too. And then it's okay. It's okay to expose that little guy to nicer things. That's fine. But when you, listen, a human being is amazing. They are, by DNA, programmed a certain way. We are made a certain way, okay? And then when we come out, by the way, Adolf Hitler knew this and tried to override one over the other, and that was you can control a person completely by purging the race of humanity and creating a perfect Aryan people. It's all DNA. It's all DNA, Hitler believed. Just get all of the non-white races off the planet, and Hitler thought he could create a utopia on Earth. Okay? Hitler was right and wrong at the same time. And then you have a lunatic come on the scene like Stalin, who said, we don't care about their DNA. Control their environment. Communize everything. Socialize it. Everyone's the same. That same is, they're all down there in the scum somewhere. They're all nothing. There is no God. They're just a bunch of numbers. And when you control them that way, you got them. Listen, in true humanity, there's a DNA print upon us, and then there's learned response behavior that you and I gather from our environment. And our environment puts stamps as we are growing up. And listen, the Bible says to know your kid and to nurture them in the way that they should go. You have a boy. Boys naturally, by the way, this is true. Are you guys awake? Yeah. This is true. When there's an explosion, when a balloon blows up, when there's fire, when there's a crash, when there's catastrophe, guess what happens? From the earliest ages, the little girl will grab her dolly, embrace it, and turn away from the crash. And she starts talking to her dolly, and she starts telling her dolly it's going to be okay. Do you know who put that in there? God put that in there. Unless you go to some college and they'll tell you no. God put that in there. And the same age little boy, 4 years old, what does he do? And he runs to it. It's true. And then you have little girls putting on mommy's high heels and mommy's dress and walking around the house acting like a grown-up. What do guys do? They dress up like army guys or like contractors, or they start building stuff or cutting trees down or painting the windows on your house black. That's what guys do. There's a difference. Big deal. That's a big deal. I could spend all day on this. A woman has the desire and the ability to be a peacemaker, much more than a guy does. A woman desires to be a peacemaker. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, 16 to 21, that God has put it in the life of the believer to make reconciliation with other people. Did you know that? All of us, male, female alike. Are you a Christian? God has put a desire in your heart to reconcile with other people. No one does that better than females. Guys are funny. If we're upset with somebody, hey, what was that? I'm sorry, did I upset you? Yeah, you did. Okay, I'm sorry. All right, let's go get something to eat. It's over. And we're not even sure what we were just talking about. Doesn't matter. Women, did you get, and let me write you a note, and then I wrote you a note, and here's my second note to the first one. And then their whole makeup process is sure, it's firm, it's confirmed, it's amazing. God has engineered women, and we need godly women in this world. We need women who know who they are in Christ. Number 9, a woman holds a unique ingenuity to serve. I don't need to belabor this. Women are amazing at serving the Lord by serving other people. We saw it all weekend long at the conference. Women love to serve. They just jump right at it. You know what? I see a lot of things. Those who work for me here at the church, my family, I see everything. And I don't often mention things, but if there's a light bulb burned out, I can see it a mile away. It's a terrible disease I have. If there's a frame crooked on the wall, I can spot it 100 feet away. It drives me nuts. I was at my doctor's office recently, and I was fixing his frames in the waiting room. I guess that's the female side of me or something. I don't know. You'll see stuff, and so amazing, women in the heart of servanthood, getting things done, taking care of things, straightening things out. I think it's awesome. I think God's in all that. The Bible tells us, by the way, that there was a woman servant by the name of Deborah in Judges chapter 4. She's cool. She's a judge in Israel, Deborah. She's a gnarly, gnarly girl. In Barak, he's all upset. He's going, you know, the enemy's going to kill us. And she goes, well, why don't you go do something about it? She basically says, why don't you man up and go beat the enemy up? I don't think they're bigger than us and all this stuff. And she goes, what do you want me to do about it? You want me to go to battle with you? would you? And she said, okay, Barack, check it out. If we go to battle and Israel wins, it's going to be said that a woman got all the glory. Are you willing? Are you able to live with that? I think she was trying to talk him out of it. I think she was trying to tell him, you go fight this thing. I'm a girl. I sit under the tree of Deborah, it was called, and I judge Israel. She goes to battle, whips those guys. That's an amazing kind of girl. She's a serve in all capacities, this one. Number 10, we end with this. A woman holds a unique design to nurture. This is awesome. Nurture. A woman nurtures. Nurtures friendships, nurtures family, nurtures people around them. School teachers, if that's a Christian woman, she's going to be a nurturer. She's one in the home. And I'm going to freak you out right now. This is an awesome verse. Very, very rarely ever mentioned. It's Revelation. You ought to mark it down. Revelation chapter 1, verse 12 says, then John turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one stood as the Son of Man. He's talking about Christ. Clothed with a garment down to his feet, girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were like wool, white wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass and as refined in the furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and with his countenance it was like the sun shining in its full strength. And did you hear the word? Across his chest, there's that golden band. You see, so what's the big deal? Incredibly unique in Scripture. It's a description of Jesus. And here he is. Don't you think that's a pretty terrifying picture? He's standing there, and across his chest, and instead of the Holy Spirit using the normal word for a man's chest, the Holy Spirit uses the word for a woman's breast. And you say, what? That freaked me out. You're freaking me out. No, 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 listen. Across his chest is a golden band. The word implies that across his chest not being a female chest, but the chest, the word used, means a place of nurturing. I'll read it to you exactly. A place of peace, rest, comfort is the root word regarding the female breast, a place of nurturing. Here's the Lord Jesus Christ and his very heart is to nurture. Isn't that awesome? And when I look and think of the attributes of what God has engineered into the Christian woman, there are so many attributes of Christ that we as men, and it ought to be this way, look at a Christian woman and say, you know what? I need to be more like that. I need to be more like that.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called Being a Christian While Being a Woman, part of a series we're presenting here on Real Radio called Life and the Bible, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, this is a series our teacher recently delivered, and it's now available for purchase on either CD or DVD. Visit us at realradioactive.org to find out more. You can read about it right there on the homepage, realradioactive.org. And while you're there, you'll also be able to click the graphic that tells you more about our television outreach called Journey. Journey with Jack Hibbs is seen on TV and the internet, and we invite you to see that as well. Journey with Jack Hibbs. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time. We at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine a amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.